Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It is 6:10. Good morning. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. I promise Steve will be back tomorrow. I'm in one more day. And before we get started with the 6 at 6, a train station in Brussels was evacuated yesterday after an explosion. I hate seeing this on the news because I feel like we're starting to become used to it. This is a common thing now. The suspect shot and killed on the phone with us is Tom Rivers from ABC News. Tom, what have we learned about the shooter, if anything?
36 years of age, living in the Molenbeek area. That should ring alarm bells because some of the assailants back in November 2015 attack in Paris came from there. Some of the assailants from the Brussels attack of March 2016 came from the same neighborhood. Born in Morocco, living in this particular neighborhood, and known links to terrorist activity. So the authorities are going to have to work through whatever they have, smartphones, laptops, you name it, try to develop a contact base, see who this guy's been talking to.
How did this go down? So did the explosion go off or was he shot first?
No. He entered the station about 8:39 local time last night. 5 minutes later, apparently he detonated this, they're calling it a suitcase, and it did not blow up. It only caught fire. He places it down, races towards some soldiers shouting, Allahu Akbar. The suitcase goes up again, but it did not have the large impact that this individual wanted. And that individual was then shot and killed by military on police. They've been there for over a year now, patrolling key areas like this.
Tom, hugely populous station, Brussels Central Station there at any given time of the day. Since March of last year when 32 people were killed in the attack at the airport, has security just been completely increased at train stations, the airport, bus stops all throughout Brussels?
Yeah, and you know, it is reassuring in a sense. If you get off the train, you see the military, you see police with automatic weapons, et cetera, et cetera. The problem, and wherever you go, though, two blocks away, it looks like it looked 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago. So they're not everywhere. But the key areas, yes, certainly police are around, military as well.
I feel like we're seeing these copycat attacks. Somebody gets away with it, and we see more and more, and they're becoming more and more daring.
Exactly. And it doesn't really matter if they are, quote unquote, died in the will soldiers of ISIS or their sympathizers. The same effects can result. In this case, the prosecutor in Brussels said we're darn lucky that this detonation failed. Otherwise, we'd be talking about a very different, more complex and nastier story right now. Mm-hmm.
Do you expect to see, with this and with what happened last year there, Tom, and in London recently, do you expect to see metal detectors, things of that sort, at places where we normally wouldn't expect them, where you could, say, walk into the luggage terminal of the airport or this crowded area, this concourse area of the train station?
You know, we may see some limited stuff, but I see a real pushback from people. You know, if they say we're going to have, their talk of this a couple of years ago, oh, we're going to have metal detectors on your commuter trains. People said, I got to get from A to B. Life is already a hassle. Forget it. Ain't going to happen. You want to have metal detectors going to the library, going to the cafeteria, isn't going to happen. It may in very specific situations appear, but I don't see it widespread, and I see a real, real pushback from people here.
Tom Rivers from ABC News. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate your time.
Take care.
The metal detectors, I think we're going to see a lot more.
I think so, too, especially with these attacks at the airport in Brussels and then this one now, too, at the train station.
Well, the train station, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
I know people are going to hate it during their commute in mornings and afternoons, but it's going to be commonplace now.
I completely agree with you. Absolutely.
And look at the Cub game yesterday at Wrigley Field. Police officers, AK-47s.
Yep.
Assault rifles.
Yeah. And think about it, too. They just put the metal detectors in, what, a year or 2 years ago? And they go somewhat quickly. If you get there, put your stuff down, walk through.
It's all about planning.
Absolutely.
You're right. Everybody was up in arms. Oh, my God, they have metal detectors at Wrigley. It's not a big deal anymore. It really isn't.
From the
Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Men.
Top 6 at 6. Governor Runner made an unprecedented speech last night as the Illinois lawmakers head back to Springfield for a special session to get a budget passed. The governor laying out his case for a balanced budget. Did it work? Will the state get a budget passed in the next 10 days?
They have 10 days. They need a 3/5 majority. Democrats said it was just more campaigning last night from Governor Runner.
And Pat Brady joins us at 6:40 this morning. Okay. The 6th congressional district, the seat in the suburbs of North Atlanta, was up for grabs last night. This seat has been Republican for 40 years. It was being watched as a sign of what's in store nationwide. It was the most expensive House campaign in history.
Yeah, this was the seat vacated by Tom Price, who's the new Secretary of Health and Human Services, and Republicans now have a little more breathing room.
Karen Handel, the Republican, won.
By about 10,000 votes.
In the special elections for House seats vacated by Republicans who wound up in President Trump's cabinet, the Democrats 0-4.
How about that? John Ossoff loses that.
Wow. And coming up in the big story.
Yeah, coming up in the big story, we're going to be talking about interesting testimony on Capitol Hill starting today. The Illinois State Board of Elections, the head, the executive director, is going to be on Capitol Hill testifying about possible Russian meddling in our election last year in Illinois.
Illinois' election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. The Republicans who want to repeal and replace Obamacare, what's in the bill, at what cost, what are they doing? We have no idea. The Senate Republicans drafting a bill in private. What is going on? Everything is in private.
It's bizarre. And this is also, too, part of that committee where there are no women on the committee talking about the backlog of this and the issues facing it, which to me is just completely bizarre. You also have Susan Collins saying she didn't want any part of this.
Right.
But it still looks a little sketchy.
And I feel like they're rushing it through to hurry up and get it
done.
Big
time.
Otto Warmbier's parents declined an autopsy on their son. I was shocked when I heard that news yesterday.
I was a little bit, too, yeah. I was too, especially because North Korea saying it was botulism and things that it likely were not the cause of his death.
Of course it wasn't. President Trump condemned North Korea's for its brutality, but he and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson stopped short of announcing fresh sanctions. Why? Because there's 3 other Americans being held.
That's right. You got to be careful what you do right now when you retaliate.
The 6 at 6 at number 5. Marian Hossa may have to retire because of an allergic reaction to his hockey equipment. Dave. Now we hear that this is a common practice. This happens a lot in hockey.
Well, there have been problems with allergic reactions. I think it's got to do with the
bacteria,
kind of the nature of the equipment, and there have other guys who've been really bothered by this over the years, and Hossa apparently has been dealing with this for a while. And taking medication for it. This was a report that came out last night out of Sportsnet in Canada, and doctors are apparently concerned about the medication that they have used to treat this allergic reaction, what effects that may have on Hossa.
Coming off a great year.
He's coming off
38 years old.
A real bounce-back year for him, 38.
Right.
He's had a tremendous career. He's got 4 years left on his deal with the Blackhawks, and so this will be a story we'll be watching here as the NHL is gathered in Las Vegas. They have their big awards show tonight. That's also where they're going to announce the expansion draft
right. This
morning to stock the new Vegas franchise.
Damn, that's a tough one, man.
It is. Again, there's been nothing official yet from either Hossa's agent or the Blackhawks. But Chris Hyann of the Tribune says that the Hawks may have something to say about it today, and we'll endeavor to see if we can get something.
You would think, with all the medical care we have here in the United States and modern technology, mm-hmm. that they could come up with something that they're not allergic to.
Well, again, it has been treated with medication, but what are the possible side effects of the medication?
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. And the 6 at 6, excuse me, O.J. Simpson may be one step closer to becoming a free man. O.J.'s parole hearing is now set for July 20th. He served 9 years in a prison in Lovelock Correctional Facility. This is a medium security prison in the Nevada desert, which is like a country club.
That's what they say.
He's not even in a real prison. I thought he was.
Medium security. I know, isn't that crazy?
He's serving 9 to 33 years for his role in a 2007 robbery in a Vegas hotel room. If you remember this, he and some other thugs were convicted of kidnapping, armed robbery, assault with a deadly weapon. He went up and wanted to grab his memorabilia, and they had guns.
Right, right.
So he could be paroled as early as October.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, but...
Could you imagine the circus surrounding his life?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He still has a lot of money to pay off on that civil suit, too.
I will guarantee if he gets out, he will have a reality show.
Oh, I bet you will.
Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely right.
The Top 6 at 6 is brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. And let's do caller number 6 at 312-981-7200. Caller 6 will set you up with a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. It's 625 at 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Right now, our state is in real crisis. And the actions we take in the days ahead will determine how history remembers us. We can all do better. We must all do better for the citizens of Illinois. We've asked the General Assembly to come together in a special session for the next 10 days, not as Democrats and Republicans, but as leaders who share bipartisan concern for our state's future. We must agree on a balanced budget plan and get it to my desk before the end of the state's fiscal year, 1 week from Friday.
It is 6:39. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve is back tomorrow in studio with us. He's the former chairman for the Illinois Republican Party, former federal and state prosecutor. He's here to help us break down the governor's speech last night and what happens in the next 10 days. It's Pat Brady. Good to see you, man.
You too, buddy. How you doing?
3 minutes and 20 seconds.
That's too long. Anything first, over 90 seconds, you lose most of us.
Well, first of all, when you heard that Runner was going to make a speech on Tuesday night, what was your initial thoughts?
Well, it's kind of unprecedented. I thought it was a real show of leadership that we need to get unified. The people down in Springfield on both sides of the aisle need to come together and fix this budget crisis. And where we are right now, the Senate passed a budget last week. Mm-hmm. Leader Durkin and the House Republicans said, here's a budget. Here's our proposed budget. The governor said, hey, I can sign on with that because it's a budget that has it's a balanced budget, first of all. It has education funding reform. It has property tax relief. It has provisions to allow these 7,000 units of local government to go away if the localities want them. It has a lot of these are Democrat and Republican ideas that have been floated throughout the session.
Right.
And so now it's all up to Speaker Madigan, because the one body that didn't pass a budget in the last session that ended at the end of May was
Senate.
The House Democrats.
Yeah.
Speaker Madigan did not pass a budget. So the governor can't sign a budget if he doesn't have one from the legislature. So to answer your question, I just think he showed some real leadership. I think they're getting close, and hopefully they can get something done. But I think he's right. It is a crisis.
Why speak yesterday? Why Governor Rauner? We know we need a budget. We know we have to do it, Pat. I mean, we talk about it every week. What was the point yesterday? Was it a lot of course, the Democrats are saying it's grandstanding, it's campaigning. Why get out there and push this televised message primetime?
It's not campaigning, but he is being responsive, I think, to the people of the state who are generally concerned mm-hmm. about the state of the state and the budget crisis. And he's telling people, speaking directly to people, which I think good politicians do. They speak directly to the voters and say, I understand this is a crisis. We are working hard to get something done. And I have, in essence, he's saying, too, I have compromised on a lot of things to try to get something done. But now the ball is in the speaker's court.
What do you think of Runner's TV ads criticizing the Democrats and Madigan? That doesn't help him. Is it helping him or hurting him publicly?
Oh, it certainly helps him. These elected officials are very responsive to TV ads and pressure. And I know that the Democrats get up in arms about it, but that's hardball politics. Having spent a lifetime participating and watching politics in Illinois, to hear Democrats complain about hardball politics is a little bit
ironic. But if you're
a
Democrat and you're trying to pass a budget and you see these TV ads, aren't you very upset when you get there today?
Well, maybe so, but it's a tough business.
I understand you got to take the emotion
but this is the first.
I feel like it's all dirty politics in Illinois.
Well, I mean, believe me, I've been on the other side of dirty politics for a long, long time. This is the first time that the Republicans have the resources to actually fight back against the Democrats. It's a rigged game against Republicans here. The map is rigged. The political process is rigged in favor of what the speaker wants to get done. So I don't have any problem with the governor doing. I think they're very effective. Politicians are responsive to public pressure, and that's what these ads do.
Don't you think this is the time right now where Madigan is going to have to give something? Because Rauner's already said publicly thousands of times, I'm not going to sign a budget that has A plus B plus C, meaning tax increases, even if they're not phased out. So isn't this the time where Rauner's already laid his cards on the table? I'm not going to sign this if blank, blank, blank.
Well, you'd think the only one that has not proposed a budget is the most powerful man in the legislature, and that's Speaker of the House. So the House, the Democrats need to come up with some kind of budget. He's kind of boxed in. Now, the other side of that argument, and this may be what happens, is it's probably not great politics for the Speaker to agree to anything with a tax increase in it because he needs to protect his speakership. And if you even look at what some of the Democratic governor candidates said in the last couple of days, the only thing that the speaker cares about is keeping his speakership. I mean, Democrats are saying that. That's not even somebody like me.
Right.
So I could see a scenario where he goes, nope, I'm not doing it. We're just going to try to do some Band-Aid approach, which, again, the state goes on autopilot for about 85% of the spending. So we're just going to be taking in or spending much more than we're taking in, and we're going to get further and further in debt. And you've seen the effect of that here. When you saw what the Chicago Public Schools had to do to get their money, paying, I don't know, what, 6% on bonds, which is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. 6.39%.
Unbelievable.
$275 million. How do we pay that back?
I don't know.
It's us.
Well, we pay it back. And now we've got, in a big issue, I think, on both the Democrat and the Republican side is the rigged property tax system. And for the people in the burbs, they're paying so much, and the people in the city, they're getting ripped off by people like J.B. Pritzker getting breaks, and the poor people paying more. So it's been that Tribune series, I think, is going to be one of the big issues in this campaign.
Right.
I think so, too.
Pat Brady in studio with us. We're going to take a look at traffic, and I'm going to have you paint a picture for me what happens the next 10 days, because I feel like nothing's going to happen until day 7, and it's going to go all the way until the bitter end. Okay.
All right.
WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. In studio with us, Pat Brady, breaking down the governor's speech last night. What's going to happen in the next 10 days? Lawmakers get together today. Did I hear it right? Is it $40,000 a day it's costing taxpayers?
I don't know if that's accurate, but it does cost taxpayers money. That's why the governor didn't want to do it last year, the last 2 years, but now we're in a crisis. He has to do it.
Okay, tell me what's going to happen the next 10 days. What happens today when they
get
together?
They're all going to get down there. A lot of them last night and today. And I think just because they're not in session all the time, although they're only in session actually on the floor for about 15 hours in the last 5 months, a lot of behind closed doors negotiation, I'm hoping, and that they'll come up, the leadership and rank and file will come up with some kind of budget agreement, and hopefully the Democrats will buy on to what the Republicans have presented, and the governor said he'll sign. And it is a compromise bill. There are a lot of Democratic ideas in there on pensions, education funding. So I'm hopeful that will happen, but it does usually all happen at the last minute.
It's going to go all 10 days, isn't it?
I would think so.
So what happens after June 30th if we don't have a budget?
That's a good question. I mean, the state stops.
The state stops. Highway project stops. They're talking about some lottery games are out. Schools may have to lay off some.
Well, they can do a temporary stopgap like they've done, but the governor says he didn't want to do that, and I think Senate President Kellerton said he didn't want to do that. So
here's the number for you guys: $185,000 it could cost for the 10-day session, including this doesn't include travel expenses. And they get a stipend as well.
Yeah, no, it's a waste of money.
Yeah.
It should have been done. But again, they were in session 15 hours in the whole last 5 months, and everything came down to literally the last minute.
I don't understand our state. You've been in politics forever. I just don't get it.
Well, there's
700-plus days without a budget.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is this. There's too much power concentrated in one person, the Speaker of the House. He controls virtually all the legislative process. You can't do anything down there without it going through his fingertips, and there's too much power. That's why Governor Rauner and others, about 80% of the state, support term limits, but the Speaker Madigan does not support term limits. So that's one of the things that's in the compromised proposed budget plan. Too much power concentrated in one guy leads to this kind of problem where we just don't get anything done. If he doesn't want it to be done.
What's John Cullerton's role the next 10 days?
Well, he already passed a budget. I think he said on Pearson's show on Sunday, he goes, I did my job. We did our jobs. We passed a budget, sent over to the House, and the House didn't do anything.
Does he talk to Madigan and say, come on, we got to make this happen?
I would assume so. I better give the Senate the House Republicans and Democrats credit for getting something done.
I mean, I've seen Cullerton on the news many times over the last few weeks. I feel like he wants to compromise. Have I missed it? Has Madigan said anything?
No, he's been, even if you're
completely silent, right?
Silent and hiding. You never saw him on the House floor.
Correct. He never does interviews. You never see what I should say rarely, because he did talk to Patty.
He did last session more, and that didn't go very well. Mm-hmm. And this time, this session, he's been invisible. But the reality is, and again, Democrats are saying this now, he doesn't care about anything but keeping his speakership. So sound public policy, the plight of the people in the state really aren't a consideration. It's all about politics. That's why if something doesn't get done, it's probably going to fall because he didn't want it to get done.
I still think that's why Lisa Madigan's running again for attorney general. I think it. Don't you see? Don't you think at one point she was seen as a gubernatorial candidate eight years ago?
But he wouldn't step aside to let her run because the donor community said we're not going to have the Speaker of the House and the very powerful Speaker of the House and the governor from the same family.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't step aside, which is a father. Right? I mean, not judging his father skills, but it seemed a lot of people that struck them as kind of weird, considering he's been down there since 1970.
If Runner doesn't pass this budget, is he done? He won't get reelected?
No, not at all. I think a lot of the people, the blame for this will go with Speaker Madigan, where it rightly belongs. And I think Governor Rauner, I think, will get a lot of credit for doing what he's done. I think the story that will be told during the course of the campaign, too, beyond the budget, is he's made a lot of institutional reforms and how this government operates. This government operates a heck of a lot better than it did 2 years ago. Much more efficiently, a lot of technology transformation, the agencies run a lot better. I think he'll get a lot of credit for that. It probably makes it more difficult, but any deal, a bad deal is not what the state needs. We've had a series of bad deals over the last 15 or 20 years. So you got to get a deal that works, not just to get the budget in balance, but we need to grow jobs in this state. We need more taxpayers, not more taxes. He's even put a tax increase on the table. The Wall Street Journal's criticizing him today for doing that. Now, that's a compromise. If you're catching it from all sides, that's a compromise.
Yeah. I feel like everybody's compromising here. We're so close.
I think so, too. But I do think there's something to what you said, Pete, too. If he doesn't pass a budget deal, this will be the third year without a budget, a fully balanced budget. I think the buck's going to stop with him. I think people think that.
It might, but who are the Democrats have put up? J.B. Pritzker, who's Madigan's guy, who's going to do everything Madigan wants.
Right.
Chris Kennedy, who all these folks have never talked about fiscal responsibility. It's about how much more we can spend. They're all talking about a tax increase, which is huge tax increase, which is toxic. So it depends who the Democrats going to put up that is actually going to reform the state. I think a lot of people, including me, believe the only chance we truly have at reforming the state and getting it to the position it should be in. I mean, look where we're sitting right now on Michigan. There's no better city in the world, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And there's so many resources in the state, from agriculture to the city to the healthcare, all the things we have. There's no reason for us to be in this condition. And the reason that we are is it's been a lot of bad public policy. And the main driver of that's still in charge, Mike Madigan.
I see it, too. I live in the city. I told you off the air I'm going to Peoria this weekend. I have friends in Rockford. I was just there. I see it all over the place. If you had to look into your crystal ball in the next 10 days, Pat Brady, will we get a budget passed?
Well, I kind of got out of the prediction business when I told everybody on this station for 18 months that Donald Trump could never be president. So.
Go ahead.
I'm also waiting for my appointment from President McCain. So. I'll stay out of the prediction business, but I do believe the rank and file Democrats and Republicans really want to get something done. They're hearing from their constituents.
Yes.
I think there's a good faith effort. I'm hopeful that they can get something done. And if not, we're going to have some problems.
It's good to see you. Thanks for
you
coming
too.
In.
See you guys.
Pat Brady at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Show me.
Never grazing in the grass. 710, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Our next guest, this is a great story. Our next guest began as a volunteer at Tech Girls in 2014 while working as a freelance web developer. She is now the National Outreach Manager at Tech Girls. Their website is TechGirls, GIRLZ.com. She is helping inspire middle school girls around the world to explore the possibilities of technology to empower their future careers. In studio with us is Amy Clyett. I love this. I have 10 nieces, and I love this idea. I love it. It's fantastic.
So it sounds like with your nieces, we could fill a workshop.
You could. Yeah. Absolutely.
I just want to say it's techgirls.org, just in case anybody's looking for
.org.
Us. .org.
Thank you for coming in. Tell us about Tech Girls. What is it?
Tech Girls, we're a nonprofit that offers free technology workshops to middle school girls, girls 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And we were founded in about 6 years ago. Our founder, who is an entrepreneur and a technologist herself, she realized that there wasn't a lot of women in tech for her to interview. And so she started digging in and finding the problem. And the problem is that there's a pipeline issue that goes back to middle school age, when they're, you know, deciding what they want to be when they grow up, when their curiosity is starting to be a little bit more swayed by outside pressures. And, you know, that's when they tend to stop looking for tech as a possible career.
I told Amy off the air, my goddaughter, when she was 3 years old, got her mom's phone, knew how to hit the button, swipe, find her app, and start playing Angry Birds. And my cousin said, I never taught her that. She just knew. So are you finding that kids are learning, especially young girls, at a very early age how to do this?
A very early age. At a very early age, they're interested. They're very curious. They feel safe exploring. And then somewhere around middle school, between middle school and high school, they stop. So that's why we focus on that age group.
So it started in Philly. Why Chicago for the second city?
Well, Chicago's actually the third city. So starting in Philadelphia, we, you know, organically grew. It was great. And now we want to reach more girls. And we've received a nice bit of funding from CompTIA Creating IT Futures, which is Chicago-based, and, you know, to bring the program to Chicago.
So people that are listening right now and they have middle school girls, what are the workshops?
There's a variety of workshops. So we like to focus on tech, not just being coding, because there's a lot of focus on coding, and that's great, but there's a lot more out there for girls. So we have anything from, you know, robotics, designing, mobile apps, image editing, you know, just a lot of different fun, hands-on topics for the girls.
God, I love this.
And this is cool, too. Who leads the workshops as well?
Again, you know, it's one of those things where it takes a village, right? So we have a lot of people that lead the workshops from, you know, industry professionals, teachers, sometimes moms, you know, like you mentioned your nieces, you
right.
know, maybe one of your sisters or your brother wants to get in and have a workshop. But there's a lot of people that can do it. Even high school students can lead workshops. We have high schoolers teaching the middle school.
You have these stay-at-home mothers now that were once in the business force, in the workforce, and they have time once their kids go back to school.
Right.
That's true.
So they could definitely volunteer
That's
for
true.
Something like this.
That's true. We have we call them our tech shops in a box, and we have free open source materials that are available on our website. And each tech shop, we have upwards of about 40 topics, and you can download these materials, and it includes the slides, it includes an outline of the topic, and, you know, exercises that you can go through, lots of other resources. So, you know, if you run out of time, or if you want more topics to go or activities to do, we have that available for you. So really anybody anywhere could run a tech shop.
Tech is so much more than coding, too,
mm-hmm.
as
right.
you're saying. So there's specific topics, like if one of the girls is interested in engineering or, you know, the environment, whatever it might be, or beauty products, whatever it could be, sports.
Absolutely. So we have, you know, as I mentioned, there's podcasting, which, you know, is a great topic. We also have one that we're working on now that's about water testing. So, you know, we try to have different topics that will relate to the girls.
Sure.
And then also, you know, talk to different tech careers that are available.
Amy Clyette in studio with us from techgirls.org. That's GIRLZ.org. Why did you get involved?
Well, when I started, I was a career changer back in 2014. And when I was looking for my network and, you know, who's my squad? And I found that there's this great, wonderful network of women in Philadelphia that support each other. But I also realized that, you know, it's a male-dominated field. And there's even online, there's lots of resources available online. But, you know, a lot of the answers you get are, you know, oh, you're a woman. You know,
you're
so,
men.
Yeah, it's hard to feel safe. So I realized that there was an issue, and I wanted to find a way to give back. So I started volunteering as an instructor with Tech Girls.
I think it's such an awesome initiative, don't you?
Well, it's a wonderful program. And I have four sisters, and anything to empower women. I mean, when you tell kids that they can do anything when they grow up, but especially women, they have such a tough road. And I've seen it. Yes. I've seen it with my mother, who's a working mother. I had three sisters that are in the workforce right now, and nieces and nephews. Yes. Definitely.
Yes, I actually have three boys, and our founder has two boys. So.
Nice to go to work and work with right. Some girls.
Yes.
Be a little girly.
Yeah. So, but you know, we see from obviously being in the industry ourselves where the need is.
Do you have any workshops coming up? I know you just had one, right?
We just had two, actually. Last month, we had two that we held at Studio Xfinity, who was a great partner with giving us a space.
How about Studio Xfinity?
It's a great,
oh,
great location.
My gosh.
Yes, it was amazing.
That is wonderful.
Yes.
That location.
Yeah. And then we have one coming up at Strata Marketing. They're on Monroe Street.
Okay.
And we have it's going to be a podcasting one. It's going to be July 15th.
So July 15th. So if people are listening right now, what do they do? Okay, this sounds kind of cool. I'm going to get my daughter involved.
Yeah, you just go to our website, techgirls.org, and you click on the find, the upcoming events tab.
Okay.
And you can find them all there. As I mentioned, we are, worldwide. So you'll see, all over the country. But if you scroll down, you'll find Chicago.
And what's cool, too, it's tech heavy, of course. But when you podcast, it's interviewing skills, interactive mm-hmm. communication skills.
Exactly.
Which is wonderful for the young girls, too.
Absolutely.
I love it. Amy, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
It's a great program. Once again, the website, if you want to check it out, techgirls.org, G-I-R-L-Z. Amy Clia, have a great day.
Thank you.
It is 721, 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Longest day of the year. What's everybody have planned today?
Bike ride, maybe a nap. Ooh, my exciting summer solstice.
Mary, Sandberg?
I'm taking a nap. I got home from dinner last night at 12:45, so
I'm you mean you
I can always tell when Sandberg...
This morning at 12:45, yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
I can always tell when you're busy. When I send you a text message, it takes you a half hour to get back to me.
Yeah.
And they're very short answers.
12:45 or 10:45?
12:45.
12:45 a.m.?
Yeah.
So why didn't you just have breakfast?
I know. I did say, I'm like, I'm not even going to be hungry for breakfast because that's in 4 hours.
What was the dinner? Why so late?
It was with friends. We were at an event and then we went to dinner. And dinner reservation was at 8:30, but we didn't sit down until almost 10.
Does your husband not care about you?
He was there. Oh, yeah. He said we can bail on this. I'm like, oh, no. We were at Mastro, so I wanted butter cake.
Wow. 10 o'clock. Yeah. Suffer to give up sleep for butter cake.
Butter cake.
I've never had butter cake. What is it?
I don't know.
A lot of butter in a cake?
Well, the name is, it's
like a pound cake?
It's pound cake, but then there's even more butter. And they were telling us that.
Sounds disgusting.
A lot of people that come there, they will say, so we know we're getting the butter cake. But we don't know what we're going to order for dinner. Like, people plan their meals around butter cake. There's nothing disgusting about it. Anyone that has, a lot of restaurants have different versions of it. Butter cake is warm and it's heaven for your mouth. It's really perfect.
Dave, you're not eating butter cake.
I am not eating butter cake. No.
Maybe a bite. You should try a bite. You're missing out.
I am meeting my brother, Jamie McMurray, the race car driver, at Wrigley Field today. We're going to the Cub game.
You've been to quite a few Cubs games this summer.
Yeah. Do you have season tickets or
fantastic.
What?
You know what? People ask me. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go because I live near Wrigley.
Yeah.
And you have the flexibility.
Yes, I do. I do have flexibility.
When I live near Wrigley, I went all the time, too. I mean, you're there. You're close. It's fun. It's
people call you last minute. Hey, I got an extra ticket. I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
Yesterday, after Pete, he hosted for Steve, and he was here, and then he's like, well, I got to leave. I have to go meet my wife for a business lunch. And I was like, what does that mean? And he said that they don't like to talk about business at home during dinner, so they meet for lunch and take care of it that way.
Oh, that's a neat idea.
I had a therapist.
Why don't you just text?
We do text, Mary, but, things get lost in translation during text messages,
for
and
sure.
I feel like we always end up fighting.
Right.
But I had a therapist in this studio 2 years ago that said, I said, every time I go out with my wife, we always end up talking business and getting in a fight, so the dates aren't fun. So she told me, make a business lunch, get rid of all the business, and then go out on a date.
When you say business lunch, is it like your finances?
Yes.
Okay.
Talking
okay.
money.
Talking she's not like your manager.
Charlie Camps,
okay.
everything.
Do you fight
okay,
at the business lunch, though?
Oh, God, did we fight yesterday. It was wonderful.
At first, I was ready to make fun of you because I'm inclined to make fun of you. But then I thought, I actually like this idea.
This is a good idea.
Yeah.
Because you get the business taken care of, and then when you go out, you can just...
We don't have to ask about it.
You can talk about everything.
So you don't fight at
Dr.
the dinner
Bill
table.
And, no. Okay. But you always end up going back to the kids or talking about finances.
Yeah, because the kids
That's
are.
That's the problem. Yeah,
that is true. But the weirder thing is he was eating a sandwich at like 10:30 and he was going to lunch a half hour later. So I don't even know how
I have a tapeworm. I can't help it. Well, I didn't eat the entire morning.
See, I justify it by we get up so early. We'll have breakfast about 6 or 7, lunch about 8 or 9,
right.
Dinner about noon, and then the rest of the day you can snack.
He ate breakfast at 10:30 a.m. and then was going to lunch at 11.
Yeah.
That's not really enough.
Well, I didn't eat until 11:30, so I like to plan. I get nervous when there's no food.
I pile up my meals, too. I'll eat like an hour apart and then say, well, this will be breakfast and lunch.
But you mentioned your brother.
Yes.
Your brother.
My brother.
The game,
my brother is coming to town. Here's the problem. I'm the only McMurray that lives downtown now. There used to be two of us. Now I'm the only one. So every time someone comes downtown, they come to our house.
And do they want to park there?
They want to park at my house.
Oh, that's
they
it. That's
come
not
in.
The Cubs game. It's parking
yes.
for the Cubs game.
But it's like my family has no boundaries.
No.
Yeah.
Most families don't.
Are they all like you?
Very in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
boy.
Just, you know, take everything. Definitely.
Does your wife like him?
My wife loves my family, but it's like every other day someone's at our house. And I did not tell her that my brother's going to be there.
Is it like they don't know when to leave too? Because I'm sure.
Well, I was supposed to meet Enid 2 weeks ago. My family came over. They didn't leave until 8:30.
See, I wasn't even going to bring that up.
Oh, here we go again.
Right.
So they don't get Dave mad.
They
now.
Pre-party. They park. That's which is totally cool because it's family. But then you come in for a drink after the game, and then some people, not your family, of course, but some people don't know.
This is
when
coming
to
from
leave.
Andrea's Greek background.
I know.
Where there's no boundaries whatsoever.
None. We do the say goodbye for 20 minutes.
So I kick
the
people
Mediterranean
out.
Blood.
See, I need to. Take a page from
I'm very playbook. Abrupt on Christmas, you know, I say to my parents and my sister, all right, we're done here, and everyone's kind of thrown off, but it does get everybody out because otherwise they'll linger.
How many siblings do you have?
Just one sister.
I feel like when you come from a big family, you can't kick people out.
Yeah
that's I have seven in my family.
That's right. Mary, you have a big family. It's the
yeah,
same
it's
thing.
Really hard, but the Belgians aren't too bad within your face. I mean, we kind of know when to stay away.
See, I would feel bad kicking people out.
Well, that's because you've got that Greek thing going.
I know. I'd feel bad. They'd stay till midnight, then I'd come in
guilt.
And complain to you guys.
Yeah.
Oh my god, they didn't leave till midnight.
And here's
I'm
the deal
exhausted.
If they come over to eat, then they're there so long you have to bring out more food at the end.
Oh, yeah, my mother does that.
And then the 30-minute goodbyes.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
We'll have dinner, dessert, and then, snacks or something. The snacks will come back out after the dessert, like the peanuts or the pretzels or whatever.
And if you're at my house, I will pull, if you had a jacket or purses or something, I pull it out. And I put it right by the front. I'm like, here, I already get it. Because everyone's like, oh, I got to get my stuff together.
The complete opposite.
Here you go. Here's the containers. I said you could take this to go. It's our waiting at the door. Like, get out of my house.
And by the way, I brought a sandwich today. Again, it's in the fridge down here in the producer's booth.
Oh, I was going to say, if you put it up here and it doesn't have your name on it, I'm throwing it away.
What? What are you talking about?
She cleans out their fridge.
She's obsessed with the fridge.
It's in a nice Ziploc bag. I'll probably eat it in the 8 o'clock hour, Mary, so I won't eat it.
Oh, it's down there.
Office.
I don't care.
It's good that somebody takes care of the refrigerator.
No, but you know what? Poor Grzanich brought in a whole meal one time. He brought his lunch.
He did not. He brought fruit.
He brought his lunch, which was expensive. He got it at Whole Foods. And Mary pitched it.
No, I did not pitch that.
Now he claims otherwise.
No, it was the fruit that had been there with mold growing.
Okay,
on
but
it.
That's his food.
God, every workplace is exactly the same.
Don't touch smelled. Other people's food.
Okay, I'll never clean the refrigerator again. Good luck.
Oh, good.
It is 7:28. I promise Cochran will be back tomorrow. I promise. And he'll end this whole deal. The big story coming up next. It's 7:20 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 7:20 WGN.
It is 7:41, 7:20 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios. Steve Cochran back tomorrow. Today is the longest day of the year. Summer started last night at 11:24. I made the mistake of saying that I'd be asleep. I was wide awake last night at 11:24, watching SportsCenter with the sound down so my wife could sleep.
That's how you celebrated the solstice?
Even though today is the solstice. Okay. Is this the midpoint before kids go back to school? Is this the halfway point?
I think it's a little early for that, isn't it?
They just got out in Chicago yesterday.
Although many of the suburbs go back the second week of August, if you can believe that now. Chicago public schools always go back after Labor Day.
July, August. Okay.
But this could be the midpoint for some of the suburban schools.
Do you guys do any summer cleaning? Clean out your house?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I have a few items that you need to get rid of.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Expired medicine. How much medicine do you have at your house that's just been sitting around?
Not a ton. Yeah.
Darlis, you don't throw stuff away. You're Greek.
No, I would throw out the medicine, though, if I had it.
We threw some out not long ago. It was expired, like, from 2012.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I hadn't been using it, but we threw it out.
Why do we keep old medicine?
I don't know. Because you think you're going to use it again?
Yeah, and if you're not using it, you probably don't look at it until you need it again.
Right.
Right. Right?
But you say to yourself, oh, my God, can I still take this? It's expired. Like, I have pain pills from when I had surgery in the last fall. I'm sure they're expired. Why do I still have them? I'm never going to take them.
In case you have a pain again?
But I didn't really take them when I had surgery.
Yeah, you should dump those.
You have apparently to dump, you have to dispose of them properly.
Yeah, exactly. Don't throw them down the sink.
Things in your home you should get rid of by the end of summer. Old makeup. How much old makeup do you have, ladies?
Oh, I do have that. So much.
We've talked.
You're
about
on
this.
TV.
Does it go bad, Andrea?
It does. Yeah,
it does.
You
Mary.
Know why? Does it have expiration?
Mary. No, you should know this.
I never look at Mary, makeup.
That's a great question.
I don't wear
question.
That much.
Powder, blush, and eyeshadow. You can either take a tissue and put a little rubbing alcohol on it and clean that off, but you should always clean your brushes and your powder puffs too.
Oh yeah, the brushes do get gross.
Because you can get bacteria on those.
Can I I'm in touch with my feminine side. When I did TV, I had a bad brush and I got a sty from putting makeup on in my eye.
That can happen. That can happen.
I had a sty in my eye.
Something I didn't need to worry about. thank you for
or
that.
Know about.
How about clothes? You got to clean out your closets this summer.
Done.
You have to do the switchover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Done.
You know.
What do you mean the switchover?
Well, per season, you do the switchover.
Winter, you have to put the winter clothes in the back. Get all your winter clothes cleaned.
Because girls don't have enough room in their closets, so they have to do the switchover.
Oh, believe
me,
I know.
And the clothes in the Tupperware.
Amen to that.
I know that. My wife has three closets at our house.
Big Rubbermaid full of closets. My winter clothes are now in those.
Oh, you put your clothes in bins. See, I take mine to the cleaners, have them cleaned, and then they're in the plastic, and then you put them in the back of the closet so they're ready for next season.
Oh, my clothes aren't that nice.
I
they go
no
in Rubbermaid.
No system whatsoever. Dave, do you have a system?
Yes, I do.
What?
Yeah, I do. I do. I have... See, now I know I never should have admitted
on.
This.
You have a system.
No, I did the switchover because I have... Like my summer stuff, my lighter weight stuff, lighter colors in the other closet. I put the winter stuff in there.
What do you mean the switchover?
Sweaters.
You're moving clothes.
Sweaters. I got the sweaters stuff. Out.
You put you put the winter stuff in the back and then the summer stuff in the front.
But shorts.
I have no organization to my clothes except my pants are on the bottom right. That's the only thing. And my jerseys are on the bottom left. That's it.
But you don't
everything else is mixed up on
you
top.
You don't have boots and, you know, winter-type shoes mixed in with your summer shoes.
Absolutely, I do. The boots are right in front of my closet,
I
have a pair of Chuck Taylors on top of the boots.
Oh, jeez.
I take my winter shoes and put those shoes that I might wear when there's snow on the ground, put those in the other closet.
What other closet? I don't have room.
We call those closed-toed shoes and sandals.
There you go.
Yeah, open-toed shoes and closed-toed shoes.
Things you should toss by the end of summer. Running shoes. Extra running shoes.
Yeah, it's good to change them frequently.
Because, you can get injuries if you don't keep changing your running shoes.
I've had the same pair of gym shoes for like 5 years.
No.
Bad.
No. We're not talking gym shoes, running shoes.
Running shoes.
Oh, aren't they the same thing?
You run.
What is it, Dave? If you run, like 3, 4, 5 times a week, you should change them every 6 months?
To 8 months, Mayor. Yep.
That's what the shoe companies tell you.
Yes.
Right. I know you're not supposed
just
to
check the bottom.
You're not supposed to pick shoes based on color, right? Like, oh, I like the red or the pink ones.
You just asked me yesterday what color I liked. You were picking between two shoes.
Oh, I did ask for your advice. Both of you guys. Yeah, do you like the white or the black?
Yes, yesterday.
And they were gym shoes,
during the show. But
No,
after the show. After the show.
Yes, you're right. After the show. You're right. I rotate my shoes. I take my running shoes. I rotate them to the lawn, and then I take my lawn shoes and throw them away.
I do the same thing.
Okay.
The ones that get mud when you're working in the yard and they get kind of muddy.
Yeah. Wait. What's a lawn? I'm sorry, what?
Condo liver.
Things you should toss by the end of summer. How about cords and chargers that are sitting around?
No, why?
Old Chargers.
If they still work, why would you toss them?
I have the old cords from the old iPhone.
Okay. Well, those, if you're not going to use them anymore, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
You can recycle those.
Outdated electronics? Do you have old phones that are sitting in your drawer?
I do. Do you guys?
I do.
I have a Palm Pilot and a razor.
I don't know where to take them.
They have an electronic recycling some areas, and usually they have it like once a year in our town. And so I'll take a carload of old electronic stuff. And
can I bring mine in and just give them to you?
Sure.
Can I do that as well?
Well, but next spring, okay?
Next spring cleaning. Next changeover.
Yes.
Things you need to get rid of. Plastic storage containers. Broken plastic storage containers.
Yeah. Get new bins.
That's not a summer thing.
That's year-round. Most of these things you can do whenever.
Extra grocery bags. If you live in the city.
Oh, absolutely.
You cannot get rid of your grocery bags.
Amen to that.
If you look in my trunk, I'm not kidding, I have 50 bags in my trunk.
I do the same
thing. I always forget them, and I'm too lazy to go out to my trunk and get them
completely
when I'm at
agree.
The store.
Now in the city of Chicago, you get charged 7 cents a bag.
So I keep buying bags.
And you know what I do? I bring in different bags to different stores. I don't care.
Right.
Because I don't want to pay the 7 cents. It adds up if you buy a ton of groceries.
Yep. We took a Costco bag into Mariano's. They weren't happy.
I took a Whole Foods bag into Jewel.
And finally, what you should get rid of before the end of the summer, stale spices in your spice cabinet.
Oh, yeah.
Do they expire? Do spices expire?
I think so.
Again, but why is that a summer thing?
Yeah. It would seem to me this
you're
would be
asking
like
the wrong
spring
guy.
Cleaning.
I don't know.
It's more
I
like
know,
spring cleaning.
But people don't think about spices in spring. You think of clothes.
And check your cans while you're at it, if you're going through your cupboards.
Wait, what?
And we're back to cleaning out the fridge and the cabinets.
Pantries.
Pantries?
Expired canned food.
My wife is very type
don't
A.
Donate it if it's expired.
She's very type A, so she's always cleaning at our house, and our pantry is cleaned every other week.
No.
Things are tossed.
Ours isn't.
Yes. Throwing away chips.
I think the list is coming out now because people want to spring clean, but they get so busy and you procrastinate, so now's the time to do it.
I never knew about the rotation with the clothes.
Got to rotate the clothes.
Yeah, the switchover.
That's never going to happen. I don't think so.
You got to have spring and fall.
It is.
Or summer and winter.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. If you're headed to work, remember you can listen online at WGNradio.com or download the app. It's absolutely free. I listen on the app probably more than I do on my radio in my car.
Oh, yeah.
It's much easier. Troy Murray joins us at 8:40 this morning. We'll talk to him about Marian Hossa. Dave, you want to run through that story if people are just joining us? I mean, this is just big news.
Well, again, the story first on Sportsnet in Canada last night that a problem with Marian Hossa's and what he describes as a progressive skin disorder might force him to retire. This morning, the Blackhawks released statements from Hossa, from general manager Stan Bowman, and the team physician, Dr. Michael Terry. Basically, Marian Hossa will miss the 2017-18 season. He says he has been privately undergoing treatment for this skin disorder, and the side effects of the medications involved to treat it are severe, and because of those side effects, he will not play next season.
Wow.
So, again, the word retirement has not been used in the statement by the Blackhawks, but at least for next year, Marian Hossa will be a spectator.
It's big news. I have also some big news, the Heat in Phoenix. Have you guys been following this story?
Yeah, this is an interesting story. With the flights?
The flights, 40 flights have been canceled in recent days because of the heat.
Yeah, excessive heat warning. Now, they had 118 degrees with the heat index, and that was a record in Phoenix yesterday.
Okay, don't we come kind of, well, we get into the low hundreds during the hottest days of summer, right, for heat index?
I don't know how that works. We need an aviation expert, and he's on the phone with us. It's our own Orion Samuelson. Orion, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm not an aviation expert, but I do have a lot of friends who are in aviation. And, of course, we just got back from Phoenix a week ago, and the heat, the summer heat, as the locals call it, has come early this year. So as a result, they're already complaining about the heat. But when it gets to the temperature it is, it really takes lift away from the airplanes. Because when it is hot and they take off, you wonder if you're ever going to get off because they use all of the runway to do it. And it's just a matter of heat destroying lift. And so if they've got a full load, they're concerned about getting off before they run out of runway.
If they do take off, Orion, is there a danger of planes overheating? You know how your car can overheat and you see sometimes you have to pull over to the side of the road, put the coolant in. Is there a danger of that happening in midair?
No. Because once you get off the ground and get up to 35,000, which is the usual cruising altitude we get when we fly out of Phoenix, it's cool up there. You know, the temperature's around 50, 60 degrees. So
highs up to 120 in Phoenix. So hotter air is thinner air. And for planes to generate lift, they got to get going. And it's just not happening.
Yeah, they might run out of runway before they get off the ground. And you don't want to do that.
All right. Big O. Thank you, buddy.
Okay.
All right. Big O.
There isn't
chiming
enough,
in.
Not enough to worry about already when you get on a plane.
Holy cow. Figure that 112 degrees. I misspoke, 122 with the heat index.
Can you imagine just taking off in Phoenix? They don't run the air conditioning. Remember, you get on a plane and you sit there and you sweat and you're moving the fan and nothing's coming out of the fan.
Yeah.
Just be patient. We're saving the energy until we take off.
I was on a flight out of Houston one time. I was telling Dave, and it was so hot that we were on the runway. And, you know, you wait, obviously. They had to shut everything down. So we're on the runway in like 95 degrees. And that was nothing compared to this, but just waiting to take off.
It's brutal.
It was brutal.
120 degrees.
Yeah.
Wow. It is 7:58 at 7:20 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
It is 8:12. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Let's bring in Dean Richards from WGN-TV. Dean, were you out there last night for this star-studded event?
You bet I was.
Really?
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Now, the stars came in for Transformers,
The last night.
Is this the last Transformers?
The last night. The last one for director Michael Bay.
Okay.
He's done five of them. And so he's calling it quits. Somebody else is going to pick up the mantle at some point because you can't get enough
Transformers.
Optimus Prime.
Well, they pulled up on a barge. Is that right?
Well, the barge was already set in place. I talked to a city official who was there last night, fairly high-placed city official, and he told me that this was the biggest red carpet event that we've ever had in Chicago, which that's a big deal. Big for a number of reasons. First and foremost, and most visibly, the first thing that you noticed when you got there, basically to Wacker and Washington, unprecedented security. I've never seen security at any event like I saw yesterday. It's the new world that we live in.
Yep.
Chicago police with I'm not that familiar with firearms, but what looked like machine guns to me.
They were assault rifles, yes.
Everywhere you look, police with these assault rifles. And bomb-sniffing dogs everywhere. Cute dogs, too.
Oh, mm-hmm. Did you pet them, Dean?
I didn't. But when I think bomb sniffing dogs, I think German shepherds. And
right.
I'm walking in like, oh, there's a cute golden lab. Oh, give Uncle Dean a big kiss. And you know, he's sniffing to see if I have gunpowder on me. all of the press. It took forever to get to the red carpet. Not complaining. I like security. I like tons of security.
Right. But feel safe.
Unprecedented long line of the press because every single person, you know, and everyone was bringing in cameras, audio equipment, you know, et cetera, had to put your stuff down for the bomb-sniffing dogs to sniff it out to you know, make sure that it was okay. And if you've ever been around any of these camera guys, you don't want to be sniffing them.
No.
Let me just tell you that much right now.
We all have.
But the so that was really something. This barge has been in place behind the Civic Opera House for a couple of days now. And so you go, you know, you go behind the Civic Opera House, you go down this long, steep stairway to what is essentially the river walk in back of the Opera House, and you go to where the barge is set up, and then they set up the barge like a regular red carpet that you would normally see on Hollywood Boulevard or, you know, someplace like that.
Why the Civic Opera House?
I don't think that it was the Civic Opera House so much as it was a good location to put the barge. I think that was, it was just a convenient spot that wasn't too disrupting.
Yep,
I mean, if
sense.
They put it on Michigan Avenue, it would, you know, traffic would be unbelievable. They had put some kind of netting on the, let me see, it would have been the Washington side of the bridge. So, you know, people just couldn't stop on the bridge, you know, people driving and walking to stop and look to see what was going on on the river. But on the west side of the bridge, we were on the east side by the Opera House on the other side where, you know, Riverside Plaza is and all those buildings are. There's thousands of people who are,
sure.
hanging out and watching. And I notice at the top of some buildings, very strategically placed some snipers that were up there also keeping an eye on things. And I was talking with some policemen when I was leaving, and they said this is the new world. They did something similar at the U2 concert. Somebody last night told me they did the same thing at a Cubs game where they had...
outside Wrigley last night.
Yeah, same thing. So welcome to the new world that we live in because of terrorism. But this event was unlike... You know, just a red carpet that's on a barge in the river.
What stars showed up?
Has never been done before.
Who showed up last night? Mark Wahlberg was here.
We got a Mark Wahlberg. We had a Sir Anthony Hopkins, Oscar winner. We had a Josh Duhamel was here. We had the director of the movie, Michael Bay, one of the most famous directors of all time.
Okay.
We had Gerard Carmichael from The Carmichael Show that's on TV. Laura Haddock. Is kind of she's the, you know, the main female role. I wouldn't really say love interest, but she was there. The voices, this was kind of exciting. I met the voices of Optimus Prime and Megatron.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Optimus Prime. It's a guy named Peter Cullen, and Frank Welker is a voice actor, and he does the voice of Megatron. Directors, producers, this was a full-blown Hollywood-like red carpet, not let alone these little mini red carpets that they sometimes do in Chicago. This was a pretty huge deal. And we put together a little montage of some of the actors. I think you can pretty much figure out who they are by their voices, but I'll explain a couple of them after we listen to it.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's a great town. It's blue collar. It reminds me of my own hometown of Boston. You know, I sat today with Mike Ditka, and the first thing he did want to apologize for beating up on my Patriots in 86. I was like, dude, not a problem. We've had many great victories since. And the history here across the board, sports, you know, politics, from everything across the board. So I love the city.
Your city has been so gracious to me and Transformers, like shutting down 10 blocks, letting wingsuit guys fly from... Sears Tower. What do you call it now? Not Sears Tower.
Now it's called the Willis Tower.
The Willis Tower.
The Willis Tower.
And
I'm never going to stop calling it Sears.
So it's pretty hard to convince a city to do that, but it took a year of planning to have these guys fly a mile and a half through the city at 120 miles an hour. But it's also just been a great city. Police, firemen are fantastic.
I signed on because I wanted to work with Michael Bay. You know, a lot of actors do. He's such a specific director, so it was fun to work with him. That was the exciting part, and it was a very big learning experience. I learned a lot being on a set of this size.
What was this experience like for you, working with Michael Bay and in this kind of movie?
Best experience ever.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, people say, how can you be in the Michael Bay movies? Well, why not? What do I have, like a two heads? No, just because I'm British, you know. It's all such, yes, all that stuff. No, he's a great guy to work with.
Being in a movie like this give you extra cred with your kids?
My son actually thinks I fight Decepticons for a living.
I'm not going to tell him otherwise.
So I know that also you've just signed on to be a spokesperson for Jockey Underwear.
Yeah. I signed.
So how do the other Navy SEALs feel about that when you guys get
You know,
together?
It's funny because, you know, typically SEALs don't wear underwear from what I hear. But
really? Is that true?
So I got a few text messages like, hey dude, you're supposed to be going commando. Now you're sporting underwear. What's up with that,
wow.
man?
So that's the biggest thing that I learned last
wow.
night.
Wow, who
that
knew?
That was actor Remy Adelake.
Okay.
He plays a lieutenant in the movie, but he was, before he became an actor, was an actual U.S. Navy SEAL. And just always wanted to be an actor, gave it a shot, you know, got this and some other roles. But I never knew that apparently U.S. Navy SEALs, that commandos go commando.
Hmm.
Who knew that?
Who knew?
I've never checked before.
I've never heard that.
Now we know.
If there are any U.S. Navy SEALs that can stop by the Showcase studio this morning to verify, Pete and Andrea would appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
By the way,
we'll do it for you, Dean, for
Mark,
the team.
Mark Wahlberg, I absolutely love. He comes off, I think when you see pictures of him, he comes off as a little grumpy. I think he's a very pleasant person. I think how many kids does he have? Like five?
Five. He's got five kids.
Five children. He's a great dad, beautiful wife.
Hey, tell your mom I said hi.
And he's a movie star.
He's a megastar. He is a mogul. He's not just a movie star. He is the person. He was the person behind Entourage.
Yeah.
His production company has produced some of the biggest films in the world. He is a major, major big deal. And I couldn't agree with you more. So down to earth. Like he says, you know, in the cut that he loves Chicago because it's a blue collar town, mm-hmm. like his hometown of Boston. He's like a blue collar guy. He's just, you know, an average kind of guy who just happens to be worth $7 bazillion.
Right. And I'm sure you know this story. After, you know, Good Vibrations, Marky Mark, he was left for dead. He had nothing. And he taught himself to act, and he started getting acting roles, and it just snowballed. And here he is.
Here he is.
He had nothing.
All these years after those Calvin Klein ads.
Damn, I wish I had an underwear deal. That'd be great.
Me too.
That's the theme today.
We have some news.
Underwear on today's Dean segment.
We have news.
Underpants.
About.
I prefer the word underpants to underwear. It sounds sillier for some reason.
Or delicates, as some call them.
Hey,
delicates.
Underpants. Underpants.
And it's feeling very uncomfortable now.
No, I'm okay. So
we have news
stupid.
About Daniel Day-Lewis that yes. is a little shocking. That
it's rocking the acting world is what it is. Rocking the underpants off of the Hollywood press. The
underpanties. We'll get back to Dean in a second. All right, back to Dean Richards from WGN-TV.
Hey, Pete.
Yes, sir.
I have an update on the U.S. Navy SEAL underwear story that we brought up. I looked it up.
If people are just tuning in, we found out that SEALs, well, we heard that SEALs do not wear underwear.
Underpants.
Yes.
From one of the actors in the new Transformers movie who used to be a SEAL. And I mm-hmm. looked it up, and it says here that Navy SEALs are often away for long stretches of time without the ability to wash their underwear.
Mm-hmm.
I can take up precious space in their rucksacks. I don't know what a rucksack is.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look that one up.
I'm guessing.
That's the.
Well, I don't even want to guess.
Right, that's the space over there.
I don't even.
Oh, it's like a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Vintage canvas backpack.
Because it seems like an underwear term.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Seems like something underwear would support. Another reason that soldiers are likely to forgo underwear is because of the various serious condition in hot and humid locations that can give them infections.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that chafing.
Sure. There you go.
Yeah, the
chafe. You know something about this, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it is, we've all learned something here today.
Daniel Day-Lewis. Who is one of the greatest
acting.
One of the greatest actors ever.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. One of the greatest actors of all time. 3 Academy Awards. He's been nominated 5 times. 1 Academy Awards for Lincoln, for There Will Be Blood, for My Left Foot. Yesterday announced he's quitting acting. He gave no reason. They put out a statement. He and his people put out a statement yesterday saying it's a private decision. And there will be no more comment from either Mr. Lewis nor from his representatives. He's just decided that he's not going to do it anymore.
Is he married?
I believe he is. I think so.
I feel like it's a relationship thing.
I don't think so. I think he's always been a little on the eclectic side. You know, he, unlike most actors that are constantly churning out movies, it was not unusual for Daniel Day-Lewis to have 3-5 years go by before a movie came out. He's
He does so much research.
He's notoriously selective with the projects, and he does meticulous research, as you say. And during one of those periods of downtime, he worked as a cobbler, shoemaker.
You got to have a good cobbler.
A shoemaker. Yeah.
I got a guy if you need one.
Yeah.
Right off Diversey near Halstead.
You get a good cobbler that's worth your weight in gold.
You do.
You get a cobbler who's, you know, you walk into the store and he's got shoes all over the place like they always do, and also 3 Academy Awards up on the shelf. Now you're talking about something. So I don't know if he's going to make cobbling his new career, if he's going to, do something else. I also don't know what the status of his underwear is.
My Left Foot, he was just amazing in that movie.
Go down the list. Gangs of New York.
Oh, Gangs of New York.
The Crucible. Lincoln. Lincoln, There Will Be Blood. Last of the Mohicans. What was it? The Ballad of Davy and Rose was a small movie, but awesome. He's awesome.
He's so
awesome
good.
In everything. And
And if you need a good cobbler, we got a guy now.
If you need your shoes fixed. Mm-hmm. I had a strap break on my sandals the other day. Now,
I'll take it to Daniel Day-Lewis.
I hate when that happens.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
That's rough stuff. Dean, thank you.
See you tomorrow.
All right. See you, buddy. Dean Richards, WGN. The big story coming up next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Now Seabrook passing to Kane. Through center ice over the jacket line to Hulsa. Funny, and he scores! The Hawks get it right back! Marion Hulsa! 6 attackers for the Hawks here. Stays in front. David and Hulsa. Should he scores? That's a power play goal. Breaking into the wild zone. Down the slot. Should he scores? Marion Hulsa with authority. Line to Hulsa down the right wing. Moves in back and he scores! Number 500 in the great career of Marion Hulsa!
God, I'm ready for hockey season right now. 8:42, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, joining us on 720 WGN. You can hear him alongside John Weideman during Blackhawks games. It's Troy Murray. Troy, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Good morning to everybody.
Troy, how about this story about Marion Hulsa? He's out for the entire season. Did you see this coming? Have you heard any rumors? What do you know?
Well, I think it's a shock to everybody at this point. But I think people kind of inside were aware that a lot of these maintenance days that Marion was taking off last year, that Joel Quenneville obviously, allows with the older players sometimes, had a little bit more importance and significance with Marion Hulsa. Tough for him to practice. This rash, I guess, would, break out when you sweat in your equipment. And it's something that several players in the past have dealt with, throughout the National Hockey League. And it's devastating news for the Blackhawks and for Marion Hulsa. Probably not the way that he wants to end his career, but at the same time, it is what it is. And if it's a medical condition that you can't control and it might affect your life further down the road, you're not going to, jeopardize that. And they've made that decision, it seems.
Troy, I remember this being a pretty big issue. I want to say going back even like 15, 20 years in the league, and hadn't heard as much about it in recent years. Obviously, equipment changes, but it's somehow, I guess it's linked to the way your body reacts to the equipment you're wearing and with sweat and everything and the moisture. Do you remember it in your playing days as being a big problem for a lot of players?
David, there was cases of it, and it's actually not even real pretty to talk about.
Yeah, I don't want to put you on this spot because I realize some of this is confidential.
A few years ago, Andrew Brunette, who came from the, came to the Blackhawks, he had a similar condition, and there's nothing you can do. I mean, you can use the medication and put stuff on, but it's just something that your body reacts to, the sweat and the heat. And I know that people have tried, and the NHL and all sports organizations have tried different type of underwear, wicker wear, all this kind of stuff that they have right now to see if that can change it. But, it's just something about the body chemistry that reacts to, in different people to, the conditions of a professional athlete and the sweating and all that. So it's something that has happened. I've seen it before. When these players get it, it's not something that you'd want to have.
It's interesting that you hear about it in the hockey world, but you don't hear it about in football or basketball. And Marian Hossa, he's out the entire season. That's terrible.
I'm surprised. At this point, I think everybody was caught off guard with the announcement that came out this morning. There was some stuff that kind of leaked out a little bit yesterday. It's a difficult decision for Marian, but at the same time, he has to make that decision, on his own with the coaching staff and the management and the medical team of the Chicago Blackhawks. So, obviously it's got to that point where he feels that it's better for him not to be taking chances and risks with the medication that they've been trying to, stem this with as much as possible, but it's moved past the point where they feel it's not productive for him to be playing.
Troy, it's such a huge loss. Do you think he'll ever come back? I mean, as being one of my favorite players, and I'm sure a lot of people, do you think he'll bounce back from this after the year?
That's just speculation at this point. The statement that they made this morning is that he's going to miss the entire season next year. But did not mention the possibility of future years and coming back. So, we'll keep an eye on that. But inside me and in my mind, if you take a whole year off, it's real tough to put yourself back into playing mode and getting yourself back into the shape. I know Marian Hossa is one of the best conditioned athletes that I've ever been around. But at the same time, to take a whole year off, and I don't know how much training and everything he would be able to do because of the condition. I guess that's something that we'll all find out a year from now.
You know, the irony of all this is that last night the NHL unveiled the new jerseys that Adidas is making, and the Blackhawks sweater doesn't look terribly different from and nor should it look much different from one of the great. Right?
Don't mess with perfection.
Why would you fix what's not broken? But one of the characteristics, Troy, of the jersey is that it's the Adidas made this jersey using this technology for breathability, moisture management, and enhanced performance.
Right.
133% more permeable than the current jersey fabric. So I don't know what that will all mean in terms of helping to maybe curb this problem in the future, but you would hope somehow it has a positive effect.
Well, I don't know. I was kind of reading some of those things that you were talking about in the press release that they had yesterday about the new jerseys. If you go back to the day when I used to play, boy, the jerseys were thick and heavy.
Oh,
and,
I know.
They just absorbed the water and the gloves, all the equipment back in the day was completely different than it is now. And, to see these jerseys and to say that they're another 25% lighter or whatever it is, you're kind of going like, these guys have no idea what it was like to put on a wool sweater back in the day and play.
Troy Murray on the phone with us, the NHL draft happening later on in the week. Do you see Weidman during the summer? Do you just go over his house, sit at his kitchen table, and you two talk to each other?
Oh, once a week we get together and have a barbecue. No, I'm just kidding. But, I do run into John, quite a bit during the summer. And, the convention, we're going to do some things with the draft coming up here Friday and Saturday. So I do get the opportunity to run into him a couple times down at the United Center when there's some things that they'd like us to come in and be a part of. So I do see John enough. I was just talking to him the other day on the phone and something that was not related to really anything towards hockey.
The NHL draft happening this week, you were drafted when? 80, 81? What year was it?
1980.
1980 by the Blackhawks. How excited were you before the draft?
I hate to burst everybody's bubble, but I was playing in a small league, a tier two league in junior up in Canada. I was told back in those days that if I ever wanted to get drafted, I had to go play in the major junior league. And there was a team called the Lethbridge Broncos that owned my rights. I went and played a couple games with them, but if I played more games, I would lose my NCAA eligibility. It still remains that way, that you can't play major juniors and then turn around and go to a collegiate program in the United States. So I kind of did it backwards, and I wanted to finish my grade 12th grade and get everything done at that point and make a decision. But that summer I was drafted, and I really wasn't. I know it was my draft year, and but I didn't really know what I was expecting at that point. I went in the third round, which was pretty good. There was another player that was drafted from that league, and his name was Brent Sutter, who we played against as kids and growing up all the way. So there's two guys, actually. There was another guy who drafted by Montreal from this Tier 2 league in Canada. So relative to the rest of the people, I went really high, but I had no idea. I think that back in those days, the first time that they actually held it inside an arena was that year in 1980, and it was in Montreal, and it was during the week. I didn't get drafted until later, and I found out when I was in class in school, because school is still in Canada, in most provinces up there. I was in class, and somebody came in and said, "Hey, Troy, you just got drafted." They found out on the radio or something, because you didn't have social media back in those days.
Right.
And they said, "You're drafted by Chicago." And I was like, "Oh, wow, that's cool."
Oh, okay,
now,
thanks.
Now fast forward to this.
Then I think you guys have kind of heard this story, but this is true. Keith Magnuson was the coach back when that happened, and he called my house later on and was going to welcome me to the organization. And it seriously was one of those things. Yeah, right. Who is this? That was Keith Magnuson, the coach of the Chicago Blackhawks. Yeah, right. Who is this? And then finally, he convinced me that this actually was Keith Magnuson on the phone, and I was so embarrassed, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
Unbelievable. Now you fast forward to this weekend. The Blackhawks are hosting it for round one Friday. It starts at 6 o'clock. I believe the United Center doors open at 4. Fan Fest outside the United Center starts Friday at 3 o'clock. It's a little bit different event than it was in 1980, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's completely different. And I think that Chicago this year is making sure that the bar is set higher than it's ever been as far as fan involvement and the way that they're going to go about business down at the United Center. I think it's exciting. You've got the neon trees playing. I think it starts at 5 o'clock outside the United Center. They're a pretty well-known band. There's lots of interactive stuff that's going to be going on there. There's going to be some signings. I guess Taves and Kane and other players and alumni are going to be there to sign some autographs outside the United Center. So it's going to be a really interesting event. One of the things that by the time we basically hang up on this conversation, Las Vegas is going to have to put in their expansion draft before 9 o'clock Central Time on the players that they have selected. Heavily rumored that Trevor Van Riemsdyk is going to be selected, and there's some kind of a deal in the works with Marcus Kruger. Mm-hmm. Not sure if that's, those could be just rumors, but there's going to be a lot of stuff that happened between now and the draft that starts Friday at 6 o'clock because of teams protecting different players. The rules and the situation are just kind of beyond explanation and trying to figure it out. But the general manager and the organization of the Las Vegas Knights, Golden Knights, can make all kinds of side deals. So between our conversation now and Friday, there's going to be a lot of stuff that changes.
Right. So we'll have that news in a little over 7 minutes. Troy Murray. Troy, have a great summer, man, and enjoy the NHL draft this weekend at the United Center.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for having me on. It's a beautiful day. Enjoy it.
All right. See you, buddy. Troy Murray.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran in studio with us, attorney Karen Conti. We're live on CLTV. Karen got dressed up today, got her hair done.
As she does every day.
I mean, I guess I have to look good in addition to sounding good. So this is you're asking a lot of me this morning, guys.
You look fantastic.
Thank you.
2 weeks ago when we had you in studio, I was filling in for Steve Cochran. I told you I had a little hiccup when I went in for my global pass. I was arrested back in 1987.
Little hiccup being the arrest.
Yes, the arrest okay. For alluding.
Jailbird.
I've got
ticket.
It in front of me.
Yes.
It's called fleeting or alluding. I've never heard those two, a fleeting or alluding.
Just to defend myself, we were leaving a bar in DeKalb. Don't ask me why I was in DeKalb, but we were leaving a bar in DeKalb, and I was racing my buddy
And I thought it was my buddy behind me because the squad car did not have his lights on. And once he turned on his lights, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm busted.
You were a victim.
Yes. But I was not drunk, okay? There was no drunk driving on
that's
there.
Good.
It was just
that,
eluding. I didn't
good.
Have a driver's license on me because... I don't know.
You got lucky. This could have been a lot worse.
It
could have
been
a lot worse. Yeah.
So what happened?
So what happened is you got 6 months supervision.
Yes.
It looks like you pled guilty to something, and it's still on your record. And
misdemeanor.
But, yeah, misdemeanor.
Right?
Yeah.
So I had to get the records to send them back to the Global Pass people, and I finally got my Global Pass.
So they gave you a wave on this.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that's good. That's all
good.
Does
that stay on my record forever?
You know, it does, unless you get it expunged. And expungement can only be done on certain things, you know, when you're a certain age, certain types of crimes. But listen, you know, even if you get things expunged, when you go to get a Global Pass or when you go to get a job, say, in a security capacity, they're going to see those things anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it's never erased at all. And this is something we mentioned it before, but you need to sit down with your kids and tell them, listen, you know, try to understand that
right.
this is indelible, that this doesn't go away, and that forever you can get great grades, you know, get your master's degree, and then you go for a job interview, and this is going to come up.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
And it came back to haunt me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, it's scary.
Let's talk about this Packer fan who's a season ticket holder for the Chicago Bears that is suing the Bears.
Yeah, this is a weird case. My understanding is he's a season ticket holder, and
yep.
as such, you get a right to go stand on the sidelines during some game or
you know,
something.
I'm a season ticket holder, and they've never offered me that, and I pay the PSL.
Yeah.
But late in the season, he claims that you can go down on the field.
Right. Well, and now the Bears have put a dress code. On the people who are going to do this, saying that you can't wear anything other than Bears kind of, you know, gear. Because he wants to, of course, wear his Packers stuff on the Soldier Field.
And
so,
by the way, this guy's been a season ticket holder for years.
Right.
I mean, forever.
So he's suing for the right to wear his Packers outfit in the Bears. And he's saying that this is a First Amendment. He's really all washed up. He's going nowhere with this case.
It's
first
a private
of all,
organization.
Well, it's a private. And
they can make their own rules.
Absolutely. And we all have to go and think about what the First Amendment says. Congress shall make no law respecting religion or the free exercise thereof. Congress is not involved here. There's no law. This is a private organization, like you said, that has a dress code, and individuals and businesses can make dress codes. It's like we had the case of United. Remember the girls were being denied entrance because they were wearing leggings.
Oh,
remember that
yes,
story?
Right, yes.
And everyone kept saying, First Amendment, you can express your... No, you can have dress codes. And if as long as they're not discriminatory against women or certain religions, mm-hmm. then it's perfectly acceptable.
This Bears season ticket holder who is a Packer fan wanted to wear his Packer jersey down on Soldier Field, and the Bears changed the rules when he did it, so the following year.
Yeah.
So he can't do it. He has no merit.
It has no merit. I don't know what his whole purpose is. I don't know if this is just, I mean, why do people do these things? You know, filing a lawsuit, you got to pay $400 or $500 to file it.
I don't
it's
understand time
it. Consuming. You could get sanctioned if it's frivolous. You know, it's not something you want to do unless you really have a right to do something.
Or you want a ton of attention and he was all over TV.
Yeah, maybe that's
and
it.
The newspapers.
Famous for 15. That's it.
You can go to kcountylaw.com to get all of Karen's information. The Bill Cosby case.
Yeah.
A mistrial.
Wow.
What happens now?
Well, they're going to retry him. And the second round is going to be a little different. As we see retrials, really the prosecution is disadvantaged here. Here's why. Cosby really didn't put on a defense. He didn't testify, and he didn't have any witnesses, really much of any witnesses to testify. So what happens is the prosecution witnesses are going to parade up there again. And this is what you do when you're a good lawyer. You look at the testimony from the last trial, and you compare it with the testimony of that's being given in the new trial, and you impeach, meaning you say, you said this different last time. When you asked this question, you gave this slightly different answer. Which one is it? And you start to pick away and make them look like they're either lying, they're not remembering things correctly, mm-hmm. Or they're shading things. And so that's a definite advantage for the defense. I saw today that one of the alternate jurors said that he would have voted to
right.
convict. And he said that there were very different personalities on the jury. The jurors are told not to talk because usually the jurors would talk. But now that it's a mistrial, the judge said, no, I don't want to poison another jury on this and have other jurors, potential jurors listen. So he's the only person who is talking. And he said, yeah, I would have convicted. I felt bad for the victim. But you know, he wasn't the one making the decision. But he listened to all the evidence. So I guess from that I can glean that perhaps there were a number of people who wanted to vote him guilty.
How do you get a fair jury in a case like this?
It's hard, but they will. I mean, there are people that don't read the papers. There are people that don't, you know, keep up with news. And there are people who will say, whether it's true or not, I can put aside my preconceived notions and be fair. And listen, think of this. If those jurors knew that there were 50 other women who were accusing him of really the same thing, right, over and over again, and they still, at least some of them, held out for a not guilty.
Right.
What they were doing was looking at the facts of this case. They were not looking at the other cases. They were not thinking about it. They were thinking about what they were presented with at trial, and that's what they're supposed to do, which is a good thing.
With a new trial, can they bring new witnesses? Say there's 10 more women who come forward at this point, Karen. Can they bring now all these 10 women and parade them up there,
they
too?
They can try, but the judge is probably going to hold to the same rulings. I would imagine he's not going to deviate. But one of the interesting witnesses for, I believe, the defense was a witness who is a rape expert. And she testified that it's very common for women to wait to report it. It's common for women to keep in contact with their perpetrators sometimes.
Sure.
Sometimes they lie to make things up, to kind of change the facts. So that was supposed to, I think, ameliorate some of the inconsistencies in her testimony, but I don't know that it was effective or not.
I didn't like the footage when they showed Bill Cosby walking to court and leaving court where he was laughing and smiling.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
No, and I don't like the hand in the air kind of thing, because,
right,
you know, it's when I did my criminal trials, I would always say, do not laugh. Do not.
Right.
And even I tell the family members who are sitting and watching, I don't want any signs of jubilation or anything, you know, because usually there's a crime that's been committed or someone is saying there was a crime committed and there's nothing to be happy about. You know, celebrate on your own, in your own privacy.
Karen Conti in studio. We're going to have you stick around for a few more minutes. We're live on CLTV. If you want to find Karen, go to kcontilaw.com. It's 720 WGN. Attorney Karen Conti joining us on 720 WGN, and we're live on CLTV. Karen, first of all, the North Korea story with Otto Warmbier. You've been following this.
Yes.
Horrible story.
Yes, it is.
The parents decided not to do an autopsy. And I thought to myself, okay, how do you punish North Korea? Do you file a wrongful death suit? Can you do that with a country like that?
You can. And there are several. There's one dating back to the 1700s that has been used over the years to sue foreign nations for violations of international treaties, human rights violations, and those types of things. And then George Bush passed a law that's similar to that, that allows the same type of thing. This is kind of for like the 9/11 attacks and those kind of things. The problem with that kind of lawsuit, let's say you bring it here and they're guilty of torturing him or poisoning him or whatever they did to him. How are you going to enforce that? You have a lawless society that does these kinds of things. How are, you know, you get a judgment for $20 million. How do you levy on their castle? I don't know what you do.
It's a waste of time.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
And again, if you had a country that you have relations with, like France or something, and we got a judgment against somebody there, there's a treaty in place for a collection of judgments, and they would have to politically probably comply with that. Otherwise, they would face sanctions and from other countries. So, but Korea, you know, we're talking about North Korea. I mean, these are people who don't have any rules.
Right.
Yeah, it would be a waste of time.
O.J. Simpson was sentenced to 9 to 33 years for kidnapping, armed robbery, and assault with a deadly weapon. He is up for parole on July 20th. What's going to happen?
They're going to let him out. I'm a betting person. I would say they're going to let him out. They look at certain factors, and the factors they're going to look at are all going to weigh on his side. He's older. Frankly, he doesn't have a real prior criminal history, which is funny because we all think of him as a criminal, but he was acquitted according to the laws of our country.
Right.
So he has a clean record. He's been a model prisoner. When you look at those factors, you know, they don't really weigh in the notoriety of who he is or any of that stuff. And the prisons there are super crowded, and he's going to be first on the list to be let out.
So nothing from the first murder trial, he was acquitted. Nothing,
yes.
None of that can be admitted into the parole hearing.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No. Mm-mm. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, and they're going to probably wait a little bit to have him, they'll have the hearing, and then there'll be a ruling, and maybe October he will be out. In time for Halloween.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, time for a reality show, probably.
Right.
He owes the Goldmans, what, $30 million?
Something like that.
Something like that. Let's say he gets out, and of course someone's going to offer him a reality show. Can he have that money sent to his kids and receive nothing?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of ways, right, to get out of that. I mean, he was living in Florida because Florida has the strongest laws protecting the assets of people. So certain retirement accounts and those types of things will be protected. But, you know, it's going to be very difficult. If, you know, there has to be a full-time lawyer on the case. So if he's going to get money from a television station, it's going to his kids. Someone could intervene and say, this is really compensation to him. We want to take that money and we want to put a lien on it. So, you know, I don't know if the Goldman's lawyers are still interested in collecting that money, but we'll see what they do.
Oh, Fred Goldman will chase him down until he dies.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Just a bad dude.
OJ can't get any right. When they just had the People versus OJ Simpson, the Netflix, which was fantastic, by the way.
It was good.
He can't get any of those proceeds, can he?
No. I mean, it was about him. He had and when you're... When you are commenting or you're reporting on a public person, that person doesn't have any rights to proceeds. You know, if you're using someone's artwork, using someone's film, you know, yes. But this was about him, and it's certainly fair commentary.
KCountyLaw.com, Karen Conti, thanks for coming
in. To see you.
It's great to
Happy
see you.
Happy summer.
Yeah.
Longest day of the year. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's 9:39. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve is back tomorrow. Tonight at one of my favorite hotels in the city, the Radisson Blue Chicago, at the Fellini Restaurant, they are having the Dog Days of Summer from 5:30 to 7:30, and every Wednesday throughout summer, you can BYOD. Bring your own dog. In studio with us is Christine from the Anti-Cruelty Society, and you have a little friend with you, right?
I do. Good morning. Thank you for having us. So I have Salem here.
Okay.
Salem is a pit bull terrier mix, and she's 4 years old. She is a very sweet, relaxed dog. She walks very well on the leash. So all she really wants are some belly rubs.
We all want that.
I mean, we really do.
We gave her a couple. Yes. I hope that was okay.
Oh, absolutely. She wants more.
And Bob Shelley is here, the general manager at the Radisson Blue. Thank you for coming in. It's good to see you.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
How did you agree to this, to have dogs come to your hotel?
Well, every single day, our local residents walk their pets past the hotel, and they stop, and they plant their feet right in front of our doorman, and they wait until they get a treat. And I said, you know, we really need to do something special for these and recognize our local four-legged residents. And so we created a menu, and we're inviting everyone, at least on, you know, pets can come down any day of the week, 7 days, doesn't matter. And enjoy the patio. But we want Wednesdays to be recognized as they can put it on their calendar and meet up with their other four-legged friends and make that a special afternoon.
It's a party with dogs, man.
So dogs don't have to be accompanied by their humans.
No, they can come all by themselves.
Sometimes we prefer drop that. Off your dog.
Sometimes we prefer that.
Bob, do you have a dog?
I do. I have a golden doodle.
Okay.
Name is Chloe.
Chloe? Oh. How old?
She's 7 years old.
7 years old. Yeah. I have a labradoodle. His name is Wrigley, and he's 2. Dave?
I have a mixed dog. It's named Ozzy.
Ozzy.
It's kind of a shih tzu.
What yep. Can he say that on the air?
Yes, okay. I can.
All right, we're good. So what's going to be happening tonight, Bob?
Well, we're going to have Anti-Cruelty Society there along with some pets as well that are adoptable. And we're featuring some of the dishes that we kind of put together for the dogs. We have 3 that we're featuring, and from
is that what we have here on TV on CLTV?
We do. We have 3 options there. Dogs love their protein, so they've the chicken, they love beef, and they also like turkey.
Wait a second, that's for a dog?
That's
I
for
know,
a dog.
That's like a meal, right? That looks like lunch.
I feel like I can eat this.
I think you're looking at wagging the tail, and that's the chicken breast with chopped carrots on a bed of rice and sweet potatoes.
Wow, this is fantastic.
You said you wanted some protein, Pete.
Wow, you can eat that.
It does look good. What's the one
this
with
is,
the meatballs?
This is human
that's,
food, right?
That's Lost Me Lucky Charms.
Oh, that's meatballs. Look at that.
And that's Sue meatballs.
Don't eat it, Pete.
There's Lucky Charms in the meatballs or what?
No, it's kind of a play on...
God, this smells great.
Maybe
you're feeding dogs
your
this food?
Spayed and neutered.
All right, wait. Here comes the bacon one.
This is really...
It looks like a bacon cheeseburger.
And that's our bad to the bone.
This is the bed of the bone?
That's the bacon cheeseburger.
Nice bed of rice. Okay. It looks like brown rice.
Yeah. So we create that, and it's brought out fresh from the kitchen and served.
This is wonderful.
It smells good, too.
And we can also alter it if your dog has certain dietary.
My dog will eat anything.
Yeah, most do.
You
most
put bacon do. On anything, any dog will eat it.
Anyone really will eat most anything with
so
bacon
cute.
On it.
Wow. And Christine, so I didn't realize you could adopt dogs, too. So every Wednesday, you're going to be showing up, or someone from the Anti-Cruelty Society.
So we are partnering with Fellini and Radisson Blu, which we're very thankful for. We always love to partner with everybody in our community. So they're doing a great job with helping us get the word out about all our adoptables at the Anti-Cruelty Society, as well as part of the proceeds coming back to us, which is thankful. They go directly to our dogs and our services there. So, yeah, we will be throughout the month of July partnering with the Radisson Blu and Fellini, and we're very excited about it.
It's a gorgeous hotel, too, by the way.
I
think one of the most
hotel.
Beautiful buildings.
Beautiful. Yeah. And it, also a way that we're partnering for the month of July, every guest that stays with us, for every night they stay, they have the opportunity to donate a dollar. So at the end of the month of July, we hope to raise several thousand dollars to
Look
help contribute
you.
To
wow.
and partnering with Anti-Cruelty Society.
I feel like your hotel doesn't get enough credit because it's kind of behind the Prudential building, and I love it. When I have people that come to town, I always try to stop by, and in that area I just love. Yeah. I really do.
It's a great location. I mean, you're a little just off the main hub, so you're not playing Frogger as you're trying to get across the street.
Oh, yes.
And,
yeah, that's for sure.
It's walkable to everywhere.
Okay, so adopting a dog, what do people have to do if they show up tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you or anybody you know may be interested in Salem or one of our other adoptables, then you would come back to the society. We're located on the corner of Grand and LaSalle. All you have to do is come in, meet and greet with some of our pups. We have cats as well and some other little critters, but we find a match for you. We work with you on that. Then you'll meet with one of our counselors, and you'll just fill out some paperwork. And if it's a good match, then you could go home tonight with a new friend.
What are the questions from the counselors?
Things such like your living situation. We just want to make sure you know that you can have a dog or a cat in your building, since a lot of people do rent around here. Just any other family members, how your other family members do, as well as if you have any other animals and how they would get along with one of our adoptables.
Do you have to introduce your animal to the adoptable before you adopt?
So, good question. If you do have a dog, you can bring your dog in to do like a meet and greet. Mm-hmm. However, cats, all of our dogs do a pre-screening before they hit the adoption floor. So they are screened how well they do with other dogs, how well they do with other cats, etc. And there will be a note on every one of their cards saying, like, this dog doesn't do that well with a cat, or this dog should be the only dog in a home, or anything like that. So we usually have a pretty good idea before they go up for adoption. But mm-hmm. again, if it works out, we hope obviously it works out. And if not, we wanted the best fit for everybody.
What's the top questions you get from people that want to adopt? Are they good with kids or other people?
Exactly. A lot of that. How friendly is this dog? We get, is this dog potty trained already? Some are, which those are great.
Right.
Some are not. We get them from all over. So we get a lot of different questions. Exactly. Like how good they are with kids, how good they are with other family and other animals, and then how well they walk, potty trained, etc.
And now you have snacks for the meet and greet. I mean, you can't beat that.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Our dogs are going to love those. Right.
I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll talk some more, and we'll keep you guys here, okay?
Great. Thank you.
We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Do you like dogs? Dogs.
What? Yeah, dogs.
Dogs. Do you like dogs?
Dogs.
Dogs.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. The Radisson Blu Chicago at the Fellini Restaurant. They're having the Dog Days of Summer tonight from 5:30 to 7:30, and every Wednesday throughout the summer. In studio with us is Bob, the GM, and Christine from the Anti-Cruelty Society. And we were talking off the air, Bob, how beautiful your hotel is. Who designed it? Who came up with the design?
Architect, local, Jeannie Gang. She's...
Okay.
The actual building itself, it's the tallest skyscraper in the world designed by a lady. So we are honored to house a hotel
really?
In that building.
Here in Chicago?
Here in Chicago.
U of I
That's
grad.
Impressive.
She was the Chicago Alumni of the Year for 2016.
Really?
Yep. It's a spectacular building and one of three architectural gems in Chicago voted by Architecture Digest.
Wow.
That's very impressive.
So each architectural tour, we get pointed out, and it's a nice shout-out for our building.
Well, sure. Absolutely. If people have never been, what are some of the things about the hotel that you can tell them about?
It is an oasis unto itself. I mean, we have 334 rooms. We have a large fitness facility, about 9,000 square feet, indoor gymnasium, the half basketball court, and another 80,000 square foot outdoor walking space, jogging trail, pool. It is just a great oasis. Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful building.
And if people show up tonight, they can adopt some dogs. And we were talking to Christine from the Anti-Cruelty Society. Again, this is a pit bull mix, right?
Yes, a pit bull terrier named Salem.
I wanted to talk to you about pit bulls, because when people hear pit bulls, it's like, oh, my God, I'm not going to adopt that dog. This dog couldn't be more mellow.
Oh, my
gosh. He hasn't barked once.
She is the sweetest dog. She is the sweetest dog, yeah. All she honestly wants are some belly rubs, someone to love her, someone to walk her. Just take care of her. She's going to be your best friend.
Should people be afraid of the pit bull mixes?
Absolutely not. I know a lot of people do think that about pit mixes, but they are some of the best dogs. And they are honestly the most lovable and kind dogs.
And can someone adopt Salem?
Yes, absolutely. So Salem is up for adoption.
Done, Pete. I think Edith's going to take Salem home.
She already has a home to go to. So yeah, absolutely. Salem is up for adoption at the Anti-Cruelty Society. And we're hoping that she gets adopted out before tonight's event so that she won't even be there tonight. But we will be bringing some other little critters along.
And Dave, that's a great dog, isn't it?
Oh, she is.
Look at Dave's got
she's rubbing against my leg.
Right.
He's got
course.
A dog. He's got two cocktails in front of him. three tails basically in front of you now.
I have a dog question about my dog Wrigley, who used to sleep next to the bed. He had a nice little bed next to our bed. And suddenly, in the last 6 months, after we fall asleep, he gets in the bed. And now he just gets on the bed before we go to bed.
That surprises you, huh?
I mean,
would you want to sleep in the bed next to the bed?
Well, his bed is very comfortable as a dog bed, but it's done. I can never get him out of the bed.
He just wants to be next to you.
Once the dog's in the bed, the dog is never leaving the bed.
It's very common. Yes, it's true. They love the most comfortable spot. So even if you sometimes try and get them off the couch or whatnot, as soon as you leave, sometimes they'll go right back up there.
My dog leads a charmed life. Does everybody's dog sleep in their bed, Bob?
Yes.
Does.
Really? Dave?
We let him fall asleep on the bed, and then I carry him to his bed.
Oh, right. And that happens.
What? I don't like him lying on my legs or anything during the night.
But how often do you actually move him?
Oh, I move him.
Oh, you do?
I do move him.
You pick up your sleeping dog and put him on the floor? In his bed?
I put him in his bed. And then he gets out of his bed.
And gets back on
the bed. He lies down on the floor next to my wife's side of the bed.
Wow. So everybody has their dog sleeping in their bed. This is normal.
It's pretty normal.
Shoot. I'm done. It's over. Okay. All right. If people want more information, Anti-Cruelty Society, or see pictures of Salem, where can they go?
Yeah, absolutely. So visit www.anticruelty.org, and we have all our pictures of our adoptables up there, more information on how to adopt, and upcoming events and such. So. And
we have pictures on our Facebook page at WGN Radio.
Perfect.
And Bob, if people have never been to the Radisson Blu, I suggest that they should go, but what's the website they can check it out?
They can go to RadissonBlueChicago.com.
You got a great hotel.
Thank you.
You do. It's like you're big time and you know it. It's like, I know I got a great hotel.
Yeah,
and everybody knows
it's
it,
big
too.
Time.
Thanks for coming in. Good to
appreciate
see you guys.
It. Thank you.
We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN.